All right, it's time for us to settle in for our Bible study. If you would find a good, comfortable spot. Since it's a Bible study, you're going to need your Bible handy, so you're going to want that. One quick point of clarification. Bobby asked regarding the meeting that's on Tuesday the 16th, that evening. Who is it specifically for? Just to be clear, it's primarily for the men who lead in worship. And the primary goals, again, are the how, but mainly the why we engage in worship in the way that we do from a leadership standpoint. And so you've all had a meeting like that in the past. It's going to kind of reframe some of those things. And so that's what that meeting is. It's for those men that are engaged in leading our worship together with a goal of taking the how and the why and being pleasing to God. So that's the 16th, 7 p.m. here. That's all the men. And really all the men who are interested in maybe leading in the future too. So it's not just exclusive in that regard. And if you've got additional questions, talk to Michael and I, and we'd be happy to spell those things out for you. Right now, though, we're introducing a new set of lessons together. There are 7 subject categories for this series. They are all tied together under this broad umbrella of digital dangers. And I'm going to define that for you in a second, so don't get too off track. Before we go any further, though, and now that we're ready into the heart of our study time, let's make sure we offer our hearts openly to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the time we share together in study. We thank you for the time our hearts can be enriched in knowledge. And we hope that as we glean practical instruction for our souls, that we do so in a way that honors you, that balances grace and mercy, and demonstrates wisdom in this life. Please help our hearts to be in tune with yours, and help us sing a song of redemption with the conversations we have with those in the world. Please forgive us of our sins, and watch over our souls. Listen to our prayers by the authority of your Son. Amen. So, when I talk about this bigger subject, we've got a lot of stuff that we're going to include in it. What we're looking at are, again, 7 areas that fall into an umbrella. The world changes around us. Sin doesn't change. The devil's pretty crafty, though, right? His design and intention is to devour us. Every generation, at times, has to learn the same lessons on a new field of battle. And with those changes come new challenges. If some of you may remember the introduction of television into your homes. That may have been a new thing for you. You may remember, even more specifically, the shift from black and white to color. I still remember watching black and white television shows that were not colorized. And I don't think I'm that old. So it's a relatively new thing, right? And let's keep it that way. I'm not that old, and it's relatively new. I also remember a time before the internet. I grew up before the internet. I remember that computers, if you wanted to do anything outside of your home with them, if you had one in your home, you hooked up your baud modem, like 9600 baud modem, and my particular first modem was an actual phone stuck on a device. And you dialed up another computer somewhere else, a bulletin board system, and that's how they talked. And then I remember all the steps after that, because they were steps from my youth, my young adulthood, to today. I remember the sound that the AOL computer tells you that you're connecting to the internet. Like, it is still logged in my brain. And the conversation with a modem talking to another modem sounds like still is there. If I were to look at all of you right now, I think probably 70% of us have access to something like this, right? Something like a tablet. You realize that this is not really anything different than your computer at home. It's just smaller. So if you have a computer at your home, if you have a flip phone, like, I don't have that problem. If you've got a flip phone, these are things that are connected to all of that. All of these devices that are in our lives every day present within them tremendous opportunity for good. They really do. They also, like anything else, have tremendous opportunity for misuse and bad situations, options, and behavior. All of that. Just like right now, we're using a screen up here, right? Some of you probably heard sermons where the preacher got up there and he had a stack of felt little pieces. And as the sermon would go, he'd slap a felt piece there for each Bible reference for each big subject. And the stack got smaller, so you know the sermon was closing to the end until they pulled out the second stack. And like, oh, it's a double. You know, just like you had with all the other stuff. Well, there was a process of adjustment in some of those areas because they could be used poorly. They could teach error. You could use any of these advantages of technology for good or for evil. Knowing that that's the case and also knowing that maybe we haven't spent a good amount of time in some ways teaching about stuff we don't know. Because look, the generation that's ahead of us, there's no going back. They're not going to wake up tomorrow and say, we're not going to use smart devices. We're not going to have computers or technology in our lives. Do you think that's going to happen? No. So, we need to be well prepared. Because it's not just for them. We use it all too. We are impacted by it. The family and friends you love, they use it all the time too. It's part of their life. They are going to struggle with these things. You're going to struggle with them. I'm going to struggle with them. So we need to be well prepared to look at all of this and be wiser than the world is with spiritual things. So when we talk about these seven categories, the first one we'll look at, I'm going to go ahead and throw the title up before I tell you the rest, is the principle of stewardship as it applies to this particular area. Stewardship is one of those, everybody thinks they're good at it, but most of us need to be better at it things, right? We all think we're good stewards. Oh, I'm a good steward. Because over here, I'm really good at something. Like, I'm really good at not spending on this, so that means I'm a good steward. Or I'm really good over here, so that means I'm a good steward. And we don't realize that, yeah, we are probably really good in those areas of stewardship, but over here, because we haven't done it much, we're just not yet. It doesn't mean we can't become. It doesn't mean we won't become. It just means that we haven't trained ourselves yet in that area. So in addition to stewardship in the areas of what we'll broadly call practical preparation for the digital dangers, we're going to talk about chastity. I'm saying chastity as opposed to modesty because they're two different things. But we'll talk about modesty too in light of chastity. And what we're talking about, to be specific, is not only how we present ourselves, but how we present ourselves in this digital environment, in the amount of clothes we have on, the lack of clothes we have on, but not just that, because that's like the thimble part of it. Modesty in the Scriptures isn't just about having enough clothes on. Modesty in the Scriptures, which is the component to this, is about how you present yourself in light of God. And you can be clothed in a cardboard box with cutouts and be wholly immodest. And you can have an appropriate amount of clothes on and be modest. And you can have an inappropriate amount of clothes on, that's too little, and be wholly unchaste and immodest. And so we're broadening the subject a little bit and being more specific. And hopefully that'll be a good lesson for us. And I'll just mention it in this regard. When I talk about modesty and chastity, anything you ever post on the internet that you ever message to anybody never goes away. Even in the most digitally secure environments where the cryptology is government level, it doesn't go away. And let me just tell you from a technical standpoint how that is the case. This will help you understand why this is so important. If I take my phone and open it up and send a message to Tim, I'm here and he's there, right? So emotionally, I feel like it just went right there. That's not the way it works. That message gets divided up into small little components. It goes to the radio tower that is somewhere within about a half mile of here. From there, from that location, it goes to another central location where it's then parsed, and they say, where do you want this message to go? It wants to go to Tim. Where's Tim? Oh, Tim happens to be here. It sends it right to Tim. Many computer entities and technological devices exist in between me and Tim. And you know what? It's all along those pathways. And yeah, we're like, oh, God, it got erased. Not always. And if you put it in a public sphere, Facebook, LinkedIn, Snapchat, Instagram, then the level of being seen is times 10. So just assume that anything you post online, your grandma's going to see it. She's going to see it. Or somebody else's grandma is going to see it. And they're going to tell your grandma. That's just the easiest way to understand it in a more simplified sense. So we're going to talk about that because that's true. We're going to talk actually about the impact of cell phones and smart devices on our spirituality and do some deep dive study into the way in which God built us and understand how those technologies impact our interaction with God, with each other, and risks that we have to be aware of if our goal is to be holy like God is holy. And we're going to talk about social media. Every single age that interacts on it. And why, just because they might have the same features, the same technological techniques that work, that they may not be the best place to be. And understand that from a spiritual standpoint, in a practical way, and actually understand them better. And we're going to talk about the elephant that's in all of those rooms. From a biblical standpoint, we have to understand the risk that pornography has in our life. Statistically speaking, math, talking to Christian counselors, members of the body of Christ, about their practices, whom they have to serve as counselors to help people grow, to be stronger, and to shred off some of the consequences. 1 in 4. 1 out of 4 Christians struggle with the impact of pornography in their lives. 1 out of 4. So that means that 1 out of 4 of the Christians you know have had to deal with the consequences of it. That doesn't mean that they're regular pornography users. They might be the people who are negatively impacted because someone they love is addicted to it or uses it regularly. Their marriage may have fallen apart because one of the parties did. Their families may be struggling before. 1 out of 4. That's the math. Whether we like the math or don't like the math doesn't change the math. The math is still the facts. So we're going to talk about that, and we're going to be plain and specific. We're also, by the way, going to use what I term verbal modesty. And so we're going to try to use words that are medically accurate at times, but not inappropriate. And so try to keep that in your comments, too. But we got to talk about it. It's really important. These are real dangers that real Christians struggle with. That's you and me. We struggle with the consequences of this all the time. And finally, as the 7th part of it, we're going to talk about some of the ways you can make choices in your home and work environments to filter, because we need to. Here's an illustration of it. This is my short take on a bigger issue. Scrolling through Netflix, I basically realized there are 3 categories of movies and television shows there. There are movies I've seen and TV shows I've seen. Movies that would need VidAngel, which is a service that filters for me to see, and stuff I don't want to see. Like, there's only those 3 categories. That's because my criteria often falls into the moral content first rather than the storyline genre. And most of it is either stuff I don't want to see or stuff I need VidAngel to see. Like, that's like 90% of what's available there. So understanding that there's those filtering services that are available, let's use them if there's something we need to profit from, because why not clean up the house a little bit, especially once we understand some of the dangers that are involved. So when we're talking about stewardship, we need to understand that word a little bit more. And something that I want us to do, especially in this class, is share your understandings, and this is not just Philip preaching a second lesson, because that's not our goal here. we need to talk about these real dangers in a healthy way, because I don't know everything. Like, the things that I know are like this small, and I know that I don't know a whole lot of other stuff. And you know stuff I've never encountered before. And you've dealt with things that I haven't dealt with. And so we can talk about them. Tim?
Such a generation. Some of the things my dad had to deal with are not easy. But likewise, he was too. So
right, like, here's an illustration. I think most of the dudes, and I say dudes very specifically, will understand this. When I was being raised up, and this is a part of the stewardship area issue, but it's part of why this study is taking place, pornography was only found in certain places. You had to go to somewhere that was uncomfortable to be seen in to acquire it. A store that sold it was on the outskirts of town, and all the scummy people were there, and so that kept relatively good people away, right? That's not the case anymore. It, like, goes to your house, and not your mailbox, secretly into your home. So my upbringing, I didn't have to deal with some of those factors. Because the only way you're going to get it is either from a relative who's a jerk, and some relatives were jerks and they had it in their homes, or go to the scummy place. And so it was like not around. Like, this wasn't a thing. Kids and adults today, all of us, that's not the thing anymore. It's 100% available. And let me add this. Tim identifies a challenge that we didn't have. Given that if I were to survey everybody on how many people have computers in their home or phones in their home that are able to do this, and the answer is probably, and I know what the answer roughly is, about 90% of us, it's not just a younger people's problem. It's an us problem to be worried about, but also to realize that it's not the end of the world. It's actually one where we can have some victory. We can make choices that allow us to be spiritually minded in the midst of that change. Just like the change from buggies to cars. Just like the change from flannel boards to projectors. Bad decisions were made for some of that, but we can use them for good, and we should. And learn to make a discerning difference in the two. So, stewardship as a general idea, and from the Bible standpoint, the terminology steward comes into play with, first, a title. This person is a steward. That means, in essence, that they manage something they have responsibility for. And so for our purposes right now, in the narrowness of our application, when we talk about stewardship, in part, we're talking about the time we spend on these things. Because I realize, and maybe you do too, that on the other end of a lot of these things are other people we care about, right? We use them to keep connected with people we care about, but not always. And so we're going to talk about how to be mindful about that in a second, and probably in this class and the following class, kind of talk about some practicalities there. So in the Scriptures, if we were to talk about a steward who is entrusted with a household's good, whatever it was, and they wasted it, is that something worthy to be emulating? Is that a good steward or a bad steward? In a very simplified sense. That's about all the bad you can get. Like, that's the definition of bad stewardship. So think through on a practical level about how our concerns might be manifested in our use of technology like this. Do we see that there's a legitimate struggle for stewardship in the way that we use our devices? Is that an easy one to acknowledge that it exists? I'm not saying we're good or bad at it yet. Like, I don't know the answer to that on the individual level. What I'm saying is, acknowledge that the challenge exists. Here's a way to think about it. When the phone rings and you're doing something that makes it difficult to answer the phone, do you still answer the phone? because it's on your body and everyone expects you to answer it right away? Some of you won't know the answer to this, but when the phones weren't right with you, did you always run to answer the phone, or did you say, my hands are dirty, I'm not going to answer it, we'll get back to you, we have an answering machine for that? Was the compulsion to answer so strong? It depends. Tim? Right. Sometimes in our household, like, there are some phones I'm not allowed to answer. My dad's work phone, that's not my phone to answer. A home phone, it was, can you get that? Someone was not going to stop what they were doing. They were going to tell someone less occupied to answer the phone. And so if mom's making dinner, I answer the phone. If dad's mowing the lawn, young me answers the home phone. And I was taught how to do that. Hello, Martin residents, how can I help you? We had rules. We were raised by wolves at times, but we had phone rules. So you think about that in the sense of stewardship. Now we're compelled to answer it right away and answer everything right away. And if we don't answer it right away, we are concerned that the person who messaged us will think that they don't care about us. That's the emotional side of that. We're conditioned that way. So stewardship has to come into play to realize that both of those answers have some truth to them. Some things really do matter. Some calls are really important. If the phone connection isn't that great and someone's trying to connect with you, man, you really need to take that call. But if the thing is just a funny little note, maybe it's not that important. Maybe there are times that are more important. So think about, these are just some scriptural principles that come in play when we talk about stewardship. From 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 2, a good steward is found trustworthy or faithful. We can think about that in the sense of consistency. And you look out for someone else's interest. So stewardship manifests itself in your care for others and not yourself. Can you guys see me? And let me be fair. You can talk to my wife and kids. They will tell you that this is a struggle for all of us. And they'll rat me out for sure. Dad struggles with this too. That's me being me. So I'm not picking on everybody else and saying I'm the best at this. I'm saying we need to get better at it. And I want to be fair that way and open up to that reality. This is something we can do better. Stewardship comes into play in that practicality of thinking about, we've been given something that we can't waste. It's time. You think about long-term profit of choices. And this is not like saying, the preacher is telling us to put our phone down and read our Bible. I do tell you that, but that's not this conversation. Put your phone down at times and be involved with the people who are in your physical space because they need you. Let me add this. You need them. We need each other in that sense. So stewardship comes into play in that idea. Right. Here's a powerful thing. I know Apple devices really well. I don't know the other company's stuff because I learned the Apple stuff and I want to keep using the stuff I know because I don't want to learn new stuff that way. Apple's technology has a system that tells you how much time you spend doing certain things. Like literally it'll tell you, if you ask, how much time did I spend on Facebook? How much time did I spend on Instagram? How much time did I spend on Candy Crush or Solitaire or Pinochle? Everyone's like, oh, wait a minute, I played that game. It'll tell you. It'll even tell you when, if you want to know. And once you know the answer to that question, then you can answer what Michael's pointing out. Am I a good steward or a bad steward? Because let's be fair on the other end. There's a lot of good that can be accomplished through some of those mediums. And so it's easy to justify, I'm doing good. I'm teaching people that they're wrong on the internet because I know I'm right. That motivates a lot of behavior. And some of you are smiling and saying, yep, because I've done that before, because we've all done that. They need to know that they're wrong. The Cubs aren't that great, you know, because the Braves are better, etc. But we can raise the stakes. They need to know what God said. They need to know the holy things and righteousness. We raise the bar. That's clearly more important, right? But we use that as justification, not just for that, but for all the other things we do. And so having this conversation should be opening it up enough to ourselves to say, all right, once we understand that a good steward uses the good wisdom, there are at least two categories of application space for us. And we won't get through all of them this morning. We'll have to look at them again next Sunday to kind of bring it down. But on a physical sense, we are steward over our wealth. And that affects our interaction with many of these areas. God has granted us the privilege to live in really the Solomon Empire of our generation. The poorest Americans are still the wealthiest of the world. It just is. You can see the ways we interact with stuff to understand that that's the truth. We simply are in an environment where even when we're not doing well, by the world standard, we're amazed. We should be. We should be a good steward of it and ask ourselves more powerful questions on the decision processes that we're using for how we use that rich, amazing entity that's in our hands. I got this great thing, and it does amazing things. And I use it to look up cat videos. Because really, that's part of the equation we're thinking about here. Is there something better I could be doing with that? Something I could invest in spiritually, personally, in relationship-wise, and to balance it out. In some ways, we watch people in that culture, and maybe we struggle with this too, make decisions that go out the boundaries of what God has entrusted us with. You know people who, because of their spending on stuff like technology, are broke? Like literally technology poor? I do. I know kids when I was in college, when computers were just starting to be the thing, they took all of their money for college and bought a fancy computer. And if you want the connection, it seems like just like people bought cars instead of paying for college or education or food. Bobby? Right, and one of the things to recognize is all that stuff changes by generation. It's not about necessarily the phone, the car, the house. It's prioritizing. God still blessed us. Let's be good stewards of what He has given us and use it in some way in a more responsible fashion. Because like I pointed out, there are people on the other side of those devices who might need us. We can prioritize and use them effectively, and you'll find something out. The more you start cutting off the things that are often spiritual temptations, you open the door for an attitude adjustment about what matters. And here's a parallel, just to kind of make it plain and connect some dots. If you're wasting 5 hours a day playing Candy Crush, I hope that's not anybody here. I apologize if I touched on a toe. I don't think it is. and just replaced it with something else that's equally unprofitable but doesn't involve a phone, you're still not a good steward yet. It's got to be figuring out, okay, what then does stewardship look like in this realm? In understanding how we interact with these things. Because think about it this way. When I have a Bible study at home or with somebody else, and I open up my print Bible, you know what happens? There's no notifications pop up. There's no text messages in my print Bible. It's just the Bible, right? That's pretty awesome. But if I reach a section of the Scriptures and it has stuff I don't understand right away, and I don't have the personal notes that I may have written right in that Bible with me, I don't have a concordance, a dictionary, a lexicon, my entire library with me in that book. But in my phone, I do. Like, most of my library exists in the digital sphere. So I can pull that out right then and there. So stewardship helps me balance those two things. Notifications sometimes are the bane of my existence. They distract me tremendously. If you ever see me in a conversation, you probably have noticed that I turn my phone face down when it's really important talk. I know I've done that with some of you, so you've probably seen it before. Because I know me. If the thing makes a bright, shiny light, I'm like, ooh, shiny light. That's like me. That may be you too. So we have to learn how to be stewards of those two things. If I'm going to be distracted, I've got to go down. And the book goes open. Someone's hand went up. I didn't catch. Was that you, Tim? Right. And right now in the services, I try to do that every Sunday, is to turn my phone to do not disturb, even though I turn the sound off. Because if I open it up because I want to read a passage or check a note that I made about the services for the day on my phone, I don't want to see any of those notifications. I want to stay focused. Because that's stewardship with the riches that God has given me in a very principled way. Here's something else. The riches God has blessed us with also allow us to be hospitable. That's part of that function. And do we use these things to help us be hospitable? You ever plan an event? Some of the stuff that's on here is pretty amazing for that. Like coordination of menus and stuff. They have entire systems designed so that if someone's sick, you can go log in and create a list of who's taking meals which night. I think that's pretty awesome. But we still have to be a good steward of it. We still have to use it appropriately. It doesn't take the place of the person actually bringing the meal and saying, I love you. Here's a meal for you. So those are components that tie into this bigger picture. Normally, I don't give a lot of homework in the classes that I teach, but I want to suggest an option for you. So this is not homework, but it's work you might do at home. So think about that. In some fashion or format between this class and our next class, kind of keep track of what you use your phone to do. I'm not saying how much time you use to do it. What you've used your phone, if it's not a phone, it's your home computer. It's not a home computer, it's a tablet, whatever your primary little technological device is, okay? And what you used it to do for the week. So if you used it to call your brethren, awesome. If you used it to watch a movie, awesome. Nothing wrong with watching movies as long as it meets the rest of the big picture of things. I think you might be surprised as to what you do with it. I know that I am surprised when I look at my results and details on my phone because it gets used in different ways. So that's just like a light homework assignment. And you don't have to share it if you don't want to. It's mainly for you. But it will help impact your understanding of stewardship and the next series of lessons that we're going to have. Because you may be surprised and not realize that you're doing things that you really don't want to do in the first place. Like, it's actually against your desires. I don't want to be doing that. And here I am doing that. And you can do it old-fashioned. Just write a little note down for yourself. You can do it on the device itself. They have settings that do that. I know the iOS system does that for the Apple stuff. I'm pretty sure Android and Chrome and all the other brands do it too. But do not ask me how to do that because I simply do not know. I can only do the Apple ones. And that's it for our class time this morning, too. We're going to, next Sunday, continue a deeper discussion of stewardship and the application of our conversations, but also looking principally at how the Bible teaches the use of our time and how it then impacts that little homework assignment, home fun, but not really. And then from that point, we may also introduce our next subject, which is modesty and chastity, biblical principles. And we're going to look at some of the passages of the Old Testament and New Testament that maybe you've looked at before, but we're going to try to broaden the picture a little bit and understand more about what God is teaching us beyond just have enough clothes on and not make sure you have too much gold or braided hair, which is first layer, important stuff. But let's build two more layers on top of it of great understanding to how we treat one another and how we present ourselves. With that being said, let's close off our class right now with prayer. If you would bow your heads with me, please. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for the shared opportunity to consider your word and consider your will. Hopefully we've become good stewards of what you bless us with. Hopefully we have a focus that seeks heaven and desires to live righteously in your sight. Help us to be then good examples to those who are around us and to understand the risks and dangers this world offers before us. Help us then to lay up treasures in heaven instead. Please forgive us of our sins and watch over our souls. We offer this prayer in your Son's name. Amen.